It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is week four, part two. I already mentioned yesterday why we have a part two. It's a sponsor thing, and also the podcast was starting to get pretty long. Part one yesterday, we broke down all Thursday night as well as all of the 1 o'clock Eastern time games. Here in part two, we are going to break down all of the 4 p.m., the late game, as well as the Sunday night game and the Monday night game here on part two of the Fantasy Feast podcast, which is brought to you by MyBookie. This is pretty cool too. Really cool. Here's the key thing. You can go there and you can bet even without using money. You can bet for free. So you can see how good you are at betting before you actually put money down. If you decide that you want to go ahead and place a bet, they're all over it. Just go to MyBookie and they'll match your deposit with a 100% bonus. Again, go to MyBookie, use the promo code FEAST to get that deposit matched with a 100% bonus. That is MyBookie.ag. Again, MyBookie.ag. Use that code FEAST. You play, you win, you get paid. Got to check out MyBookie. Give it a shot if you're into that sort of thing. I know a lot of you are, starting tonight with tonight's game, the Thursday night game. Why not?
Next meal.
Okay, Evan, let's start with the late games now. It's Denver at Tampa Bay. I don't know what the Bucs are doing, but they're going against a darn good defense with the Denver Broncos. Your boy, I don't know if he's your boy, but Trevor Siemian lit up the Bengals on Sunday. Does he do it again? What do you see against the Bucs?
Well, the Bucs are always a good matchup for opposing passing games because they shut down the run and they don't get pressure on the quarterback and their secondary is bad. So, I mean, I don't think Siemian is going to – I mean, you mentioned before how, you know, Paul Gunther sold out to stop the run against Trevor Siemian. So there were opportunities in the back end. You know, he hits two deep bombs and throws, you know, a short little touchdown to John Phillips, and it's a monster fantasy game. And the deep balls were off play action. Demaryius Thomas actually he beat Chris Lewis Harris on the play, who's really a special teamer for the Bengals. I think the matchup is good for Trevor Siemian. I think that he'll have more DFS ownership than he probably should this week. I don't think he's a great streamer. I would prefer Kirk Cousins. I would prefer Joe Flacco against the Raiders. I would prefer Andy Dalton against the Dolphins. We'll talk about Alex Smith in a minute. I would use all those guys over Trevor Siemian this week. But, you know, the good news is that Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas were able to produce in a tough matchup on paper against the Bengals, and now they get an even better one against Tampa Bay, where, you know, generally you have to throw to move the ball against the Bucs. Even last week, I mean, the Bucs gave up the quarterback 17 week to Case Keenum. Which, I mean, that's middle of the road. And then in the first two games, they gave up a ton of production to the quarterbacks that they face. So I do like the Broncos passing game. I think that there are some better streamers this week, but I think it's definitely a good spot for the Broncos passing game. On the Bucs side, Charles Sims, you know, this is a guy who is used in the passing game so much that, like, run defense matchups don't even matter for him. And we saw that last week against the Rams. He's going to catch a ton of balls. The Buccaneers are a pass-first team without Doug Martin. They lead the NFL in pass attempts right now. Charles Sims, it doesn't matter who he's playing. You're using him in fantasy because he's going to get the ball in space and he's going to catch the football. and he's going to score touchdowns. We saw him score a goal line touchdown against the Rams last week. He played 75% of the Buccaneers' offensive snaps. Jacquizz Rodgers is not a thing. Charles Sims is. You want to use him. It doesn't matter that he's playing Denver. Mike Evans is in a league-winning position right now. I mean, I wish that I would have been higher on Mike Evans before the year because everything is coming together for him. Mentioned the Bucs pass attempts. ASJ is out the window. Vincent Jackson is just – it's over for Vincent Jackson. This team is going to be throwing the ball so much. Another situation where it does not matter who the Buccaneers are playing. We saw against Patrick Peterson, Mike Evans came away with 6 for 70 and 1 in a theoretically difficult matchup against the Rams last week. He had over 130 yards and a touchdown. He's going to be a league winner this year. Mike Evans is, and it doesn't matter that he's going up against the Broncos. And the fact that people will see Denver on the schedule this week will lower Mike Evans' ownership. And I think he's an awesome, awesome tournament play in daily fantasy this week. He's gonna roll all year long.
What about the LA Rams in Arizona to take on a disappointing Cardinals bunch so far?
Todd Gurley had one of the most incredible touchdown runs that I've ever seen. Just he's got absurd balance last week, which was nice to see. I mean, just we haven't been able to see very much of that kind of thing because of how bad the Rams are. And I realize that they're 2-1 now, but they're a bad team. I don't care if they finish 7-9 or 8-8 or even 9-7. The Rams suck, and they suck the life out of Todd Gurley more often than not. Last year, Todd Gurley had one game where he went like for 160 total yards against the Cardinals. I think it was in Week 4. Yeah, it was his first game as the Rams feature back, and that was in Arizona. And then the Cardinals went to the Rams in like Week 13, and they held Todd Gurley to 9 carries for 41 yards, and he didn't even have a catch. You know, it's going to be a rocky ride for Todd Gurley. It's going to be a really rocky ride for him. He doesn't get a lot of passing game usage. His O-line is bad. Can he execute, you know, goal line touchdowns, of course? Can he pull off an amazing run every once in a while like we saw last week? You know, of course. But it's going to be a rocky ride. I mean, it's really easy to defend the Rams. For the Cardinals, this is a bounce back spot for them because they went, you know, to Buffalo at 1 p.m. Eastern time, got their clocks kind of cleaned, and now they're back home to face a bad Rams team. And I think David Johnson could really, really light it up. We saw him, you know, he's got over 110 total yards in each of the Cardinals' first three games, coming off a 2-touchdown game. He's just incredible, and he was the only guy who performed well in the Cardinals' offense last week. You know, he should be their offensive centerpiece, and this is a game where they should be winning and be able to ride him. And I think Carson Palmer probably bounces back too. We saw John Brown a lot more involved last week. He still was not a full-time player, but he got, I think, 11 targets. He led the Cardinals in receiving. They're taking a lot of shots to him downfield. He's going to hit a big play eventually. You know, they brought him along slowly after that concussion in training camp. But I think the arrow is pointing up on John Brown. He might have gotten dropped in some fantasy leagues after a really slow start. I think that he's definitely worth owning. And I also like the idea of going after him in dynasty leagues. There have been some rumors that Larry Fitzgerald may retire after this year, and Michael Floyd, his contract is up. So, I mean, John Brown, and I think that Jerron Brown is also really interesting for the same reasons, and J.J. Nelson. But John Brown, you know, I think he's a guy to go after in dynasty leagues while his value is diminished by this early season small sample size where he's just been eased in.
Got it. Let's keep it rolling and go to the next late game, which is New Orleans at San Diego. Short week for that disastrous Saints defense.
Yeah, man, you know, the best way to do this for the Chargers is to not even mess around and just give the ball to Melvin Gordon like 30 times and not, you know, keep Drew Brees off the field and just bury this horrible, horrible, horrible New Orleans defense, which, as you mentioned, is on a short week, you know, traveling all the way across the country. I mean, this should be a big spot for Melvin Gordon. Tyrell Williams is a guy who I think is really interesting. Antonio Gates is out of the picture, and Tyrell Williams led the Chargers in targets last week. He leads the Chargers in red zone targets on the season. He's really starting to come on. I mean, I think Philip Rivers, it's safe to say that Philip Rivers trusts this guy at this point. I think Travis Benjamin is an every week second or third receiver in fantasy. And Hunter Henry played almost every snap in the Chargers week three offense and caught five balls or five of five targets for 76 yards. You know, that's the Chargers tight end of the future. And Gates isn't going to play again. And you can use – I know that Hunter Henry is the minimum price on some daily fantasy sites. So you can – you know, he's a very, very respectable streamer and DFS play this week.
Got it. All right. What about – did you say everything you need to say about the Saints offensively?
We could talk about the Saints. Yeah, I mean, you know, the expectation should always be lowered on the road for the Saints offense. Last year, they averaged under 19 points per game on the road. Drew Brees has massive home-away splits. You know, ever since he signed with the Saints in 2007, I mean, I think he's still a good fantasy start, but you know, the expectations need to be lowered. We're going to see Brandon Cooks have to deal with Jason Verrett. He did have a lot of issues with T.Y. Hilton last week, I think you're still using Brandon Cooks, but the expectations need to be lowered. I think the matchup is best for Kobe Fleener and Mark Ingram this week, especially if there's no Willie Snead. We'll have to see about that. But Kobe Fleener started to get rolling. You know, he was getting wide open against the Giants in week two. It's just he wasn't on the same page with Drew Brees. I mean, he can be a difference maker in fantasy if they keep getting him the ball. I don't see his targets going anywhere. The rest of the tight end depth chart in New Orleans is all injured. He has now, 17 targets in his last two games. You know, for as deficient as he is as a football player, Kobe Fleener is a great, great athlete, and he can get open. And he's really, really difficult for linebackers and safeties to cover. And Drew Brees is always thrown to the open man. So I think that Kobe Fleener probably keeps it rolling the rest of the way after a slow start.
What about the Dallas Cowboys in San Francisco to take on the Niners?
Yeah, this is a very interesting matchup. A lot of time of possession and pace of the game sort of factors in here, because the Cowboys, what do they want to do? They want to slow down the game. They want to control the clock. You know, they want to milk the clock. And the 49ers, generally, they want to play fast, although we did see them start to play a little bit slower against Seattle last week. But usually Chip Kelly wants to keep his foot on the gas. And so a lot of interesting dynamics there. It's a really good matchup for Carlos Hyde. Finally, he gets a good matchup. The Cowboys have given up almost 5 yards per carry to opposing running backs. They're weak up front. We knew that. And I don't think that the Cowboys will be able to pour points on the 49ers, who have played really, really good defense quietly in home games since the start of the 2015 season. They allow an average of 33.5 points per game on the road and 15 points per game at home. So I think that we'll see a much stronger 40 performance from the 49ers defense this week. The game flow will be good for Carlos Hyde. I mean, he could eat against this Cowboys defense big time. On the 49ers side, I think you got to continue to expect ups and downs for Dez Bryant. I mean, the Cowboys just, you know, they don't go out of their way to scheme him the rock. You know, I mean, it's up to Dak Prescott to find him. You know, they don't really throw him bubble screens or, you know, they don't manufacture ways to get the ball into Dez Bryant's hand. And that's a little bit frustrating, but it is a really good matchup for him. It's another good matchup for Dak Prescott, who we mentioned as a streamer last week. He was the quarterback 6 overall. And then Zeke has really started to find his footing. I think he's looking better every week. I realize that he played a really decimated Bears defense last week, but I think he's looking better every single week. He was a guy who wasn't necessarily in great shape in training camp because he missed a lot of time with a hamstring injury. And so I think that he will keep it rolling. The 49ers have allowed – oh, I think this is an interesting stat that I didn't mention, the Dolphins-Bengals thing. The Bears have allowed the most run plays in the NFL through 3 weeks. I think that bodes well for your week 4 sleeper. The Dolphins have allowed the second most run plays in the league. I think that bodes well for Jeremy Hill. And the 49ers have allowed the third most run plays through 3 weeks. I think that bodes well for Zeke Elliott. And we can move on to the next game.
Kansas City is at Pittsburgh. Obviously, would have been nice if you told me to take the Chiefs defense last week as a streamer. Actually, did you? Did you say Chiefs defense last week as a streamer now that I think about it?
No. They're a team that people will try to use, or they're trying to use them every week, you know?
Right. All right. Well, anyway, now they're playing the Steelers at home, who got really shut down by the Eagles defense on Sunday. Let's start with the Steelers, the home team in this one.
I think this game is a shootout. The Steelers play fast at home. This is one thing that Pat Thorman of Pro Football Focus talks about a lot. They will play a lot of no huddle at home. And they're getting Lev Bell back. And I think AB just goes nuts in this game. A lot of people are trying to crown Marcus Peters because he gets a lot of interceptions, but he's going to get worked by AB. And really, the Chiefs don't even move Marcus Peters around very much. And he usually plays left corner, and AB runs most of his routes at right corners. Phillip Gaines has been a liability early in the season. So I think we have Antonio. We have a huge game for Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger. Now, I'm not scared of the Chiefs pass defense. They're toward the bottom of the NFL in quarterback hits. They haven't faced anybody so far. And I think that Ben lights them up. The home splits over the last 3 seasons for Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown are just sick. And I think that with Le'Veon Bell coming back, people will be more focused on him. He's underpriced on daily fantasy sites to his talent level. So he is a really interesting daily fantasy play. But for me, I'm liking Ben and Antonio Brown. And on the Chiefs side, I think that this is a shootout game, and I think Alex Smith has success. The Steelers have maybe the worst pass rush in the league. I mean, they're not doing anything about it. I mean, this is not Blitzburg anymore. You know, they're playing cover 2, Mike Tomlin, Tony Dungy style defense, bend but don't break, and they've given up 300 plus passing yards in each of their first 3 games. They're second in the NFL in passing yards allowed. They do defend the run pretty well, although Kenyon Barner and Wendell Smallwood had some late game production, mostly in the second half against them last week. But I think Alex Smith has a good game. I think that he is the kind of quarterback that, you know, against a non-blitzing cover two style defense, you know, he's a risk averse guy. The cover two is designed to draw out your drives and, you know, kind of get you to make mistakes. And Alex Smith isn't going to make very many mistakes. I think Alex Smith has a big game. I think that Jeremy Maclin has a big game. I think Travis Kelce, especially if there's no Ryan Shazier and he's injured right now, and it looks like he's going to be questionable. And he really hasn't even been able to make it through a full game anyway. I think Travis Kelce has a chance at a big game. Mentioned last week, Alex Smith as a streamer. He didn't tear it up, but he did finish as the quarterback 15. So he didn't, you know, he didn't kill you. But I really like him as a streamer this week. We may as well go back and recap the quarterback streamers, because they are Kirk Cousins against the Browns. He's number one. Joe Flacco against the Raiders. He's number two. I like Alex Smith against the Steelers and Andy Dalton against the Dolphins.
Got it. All right. Well, we got one more game to break down, and that's the Monday Nighter. It's the Vikings with that dominating defense against the New York Giants, who, I mean, they moved the ball, but I thought were disappointing at times on Sunday against the Redskins. What do you got?
Yeah, this Vikings defense, man, goodness, they are so good. They're so good. No one stops Cam Newton at home, but the Vikings did. So tip of the cap to them. 8 sacks and 12 quarterback hits last week. That is just insane. They're playing insane run defense. You know, Xavier Rhodes isn't even all the way up to speed yet. They're missing Sharif Floyd. You know, they are so, so good on defense. 17 points or fewer allowed in 7 straight games now. And they've gone against some truly elite offenses during that stretch, including the Panthers, including the Seahawks in the playoffs. Really impressive. I mean, I think that the Broncos and the Seahawks and the Vikings are clearly the top 3 defenses in the NFL. And, you know, they're on a tier unto their own. And the Vikings definitely belong in that conversation. I mean, it's going to be a tough one for the Giants offense. You know, I would definitely use a streamer over Eli Manning. You know, Odell Beckham can make plays against anyone. It's going to be a little bit tougher, I think, for the complementary receivers in a game where Eli Manning probably isn't going to have many passing yards. People are out there blowing, you know, free agent money on free agent waiver wire money on running backs for the Giants. You know, don't do it. Rashad Jennings is going to be back. Orleans Darkwa is a tease. Bobby Rainey is sort of interesting, but I mean, they can just as easily use Paul Perkins. I even saw one beat writer suggest that they might bring back Andre Williams. I mean, Rich Rebar, who writes for RotoWorld now, an incredible analyst, he noted how the Giants have one of the worst run defense schedules in the league for the next month and a half. So don't go out there blowing money on waiver priorities on Giants running backs, please. You're not even going to be able to use them against the Vikings. For the Vikings, we saw Kyle Rudolph have a big game. He's so much more involved, man. Now, and the Giants are always a good matchup for tight ends. I realize that they haven't given up any huge games yet, but Kobe Fleener was consistently open against those weak linebackers and safeties for the Giants in week 2. And Kyle Rudolph is going to get 8 targets, and he's going to be used heavily in the red zone. He's a fantasy starter. He's an every week fantasy starter at this point. I think Steph Diggs gets it back going. Talking about giving players shouts out. James Bradbury had a really nice game against Stephon Diggs last week. Looks like he's going to be a player in the league. He will face off with Julio Jones this week. So much, you know, a significant test in week 4. But James Bradbury has played really well. so far this year. The Giants are really banged up, though, in the secondary. Darian Thompson, foot, doesn't look like he's going to play. DRC and Eli Apple both got banged up last week. So not too worried about Stephon Diggs' matchup. We saw DeSean Jackson get loose down the sideline for a touch or loose for a deep ball TD last week, and Steph Diggs is ready to roll. What's nice about the Vikings offense from a passing game standpoint is that you know where the ball is going to go. You know it's going to go to Rudolph. You know it's going to go to Steph Diggs. Maybe they will get Treadwell involved eventually. Charles Johnson has been terrible. But the ball distribution is very shallow in the Vikings passing offense, and that makes life easy for us, you know, in forecasting. So just keep rolling them out there. The backfield was about as expected. McKinnon was the lead back. Asiata was involved, and you know they're both tough. You know they're both in tough spots against a good Giants run defense.
That'll do it for part two of the Week 4 Fantasy Feast Eaten podcast here with Evan Silva and me, Ross Tucker. I mentioned this in part one. I'll mention it again. Now that you have all this glorious fantasy knowledge, you know where to go. It's DraftKings.com, and you go there, and look, they got a million different contests. You can play with friends, total strangers. You can play with experts, novices, whatever. Whatever your level of fantasy expertise, DraftKings has something for everyone. Don't wait, though. Go to DraftKings.com now and choose your players for this weekend's contest. Enter promo code FEAST, and you can play for free, baby, with your first deposit. That's promo code FEAST to play for free for your share of over $1 million in total prizes this weekend, only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. That'll do it for part two. Like I said earlier, we'll try to have just one part next week if we can swing that. Otherwise, look, I got to get Evan paid somehow, right? Evan's dropping some serious knowledge. He deserves to get paid for his time. And this is what the sponsors, a couple of them, said we needed to do. So that is what we're doing. And we appreciate you guys taking advantage of the sponsors because that's really the only thing that makes these things click. You guys rock. It's one thing to listen, another thing to take it to the next level and use these code FEASTS at our different sponsors. Really, really appreciate that. Other than that, I am stuffed. I am full from this fantasy feast. We're done.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
The only other thing, Bri, that I want to make sure everybody knows is that once you win all this money from the advice that Evan, mainly Evan, a little bit me, gives you on the Fantasy Feast podcast, you got to know what to do with that money. And we all know how volatile the stock market can be. That's why I think you guys should check out richuncles.com. It's a REIT, a real estate investment trust that pools investors' money together and lets you get on bigger deals like commercial property that you rent out to creditworthy tenants like Walgreens and Chase Bank, and then get a monthly cash dividend. Look, like any investment, has some risks, not guaranteed. So go to their website and check out Rich Uncles REIT, a Reg A Tier 2 offering. Go to richuncles.com. That's richuncles.com. Or call 855-RICH-UNCLES.
Rich Uncles REIT is seeking indications of interest concerning its Reg A Tier 2 securities offering. Any indication of interest involves no obligation or commitment of any kind. No money or other consideration is being solicited, and if sent, response will not be accepted. No sales will be made or commitments to purchase accepted until the offering statement is qualified. This media outlet is being paid under $2,000 by Rich Uncles for this single message.